I'll tell you one thing about fellowship. There's some good music here. Your preacher, I hope he knows how good he's got it. If you can't preach after y'all sing, there's something wrong with you. Just say it. Some good singing. I'm so thankful that Jesus is the one in me, aren't you? I'm so glad that I get to stand before you tonight, but I'm so thankful that I stand before you not in my power, but the power of Christ. You guys are a lot more intimidating from up here. I love you down there, but you're scary from up here. Praise God. Y'all just bear with me for a minute. I'm going to get my bounds, and I'm going to settle in here, and the Holy Spirit will take over. But until then, I'm a nervous wreck, so just bear with me. Brother Brian walked up to me a few minutes ago, and he said, "Are you nervous, brother?" I said, "Well, if by nervous you mean I'm between four messages, don't know which one to preach yet, yes. But I'm thankful that the Lord." And we're just going to mind the Lord tonight if we're okay with that. I've tried to argue with God all day. He laid a message on my heart. It's not a new message. I've preached it before. I don't want to be disingenuous with you. But I've tried to tell God, no, that message just won't work there. And God's continually reminded me to just obey Him. And so that's what we're going to do. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And we'll just settle in here. The thought, a relatively simple thought, but a thought that I think we all should ask ourselves, should be honest with ourselves. Do you realize that, yes, your salvation is between you and God? I can't truly know if you're saved. Your pastor can't truly know if you're saved. Your spouse can't truly know if you're saved. That's between you and God. You can fool man. You can fool me. But you'll never fool God. The same is true with our service to God. The same is true when God calls you. And by the way, I believe God is calling a lot more than our answering. I'm not just talking about preaching. I'm just talking about being involved at all. I'm afraid that we live in a day where we like to be entertained. We live in a convenience-filled world. And our children, I joke with our kids all the time. We start down the road and our kids say, "Dad, can we turn on the Wi-Fi? Dad, can we have the password? Dad, can I watch this on my iPad? Dad, can I play my Nintendo Switch? Dad. And I have to go, "Just look out the window for a while." They want to be entertained. We all do. We like being fed, but we don't like feeding others. The question is this: have you gone? Have you gone? Have you answered God's call to where God has called you? Have you gone? Genesis chapter number 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. In verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came." Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I'm so thankful for the truths that you give us, God, in our daily walk, God, and the roadmap, God, per se, that you've given us in your word. And God, how we can look to it, God, and we can find instruction. And God, how we can find reproof and correction. And God, how you can still speak to us through your word. Thank you, God, that you do speak to us through your word. God, we look to you now to speak to hearts, God, like only you can. God, not one person here needs to hear a thing from me. But God, myself and all of us here need to hear from you. And God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. God, I pray you'd encourage that one, God, that maybe is on the fence about serving you. God, I pray that they would, Lord, be convicted to jump head first into service. God, I pray that you would consecrate us all to yourself. God, I pray that you'd empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you do a work that only you can. God, we seek a miracle tonight in our hearts and lives. God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to look at a couple of thoughts from the life of Abraham here. And just again, the thought is, have you gone? Have you answered God's call for your life? I've already hinted at it that I believe God is calling more than what are answering. I remember some years back, a couple of men at my sending church were standing around after service, and they were, you know, just rag chewing. They were just talking, you know, like us men like to do. And one of them said, you know, all these women pastors and women preachers, that ain't right, and they can't be doing that, and that's just wrong, and that's not right. And my pastor walked up and he said this. He said, men, if the men of God that have been called of God would do what God's called them to do, there'd be no place in a pulpit for a woman. We're not answering God's call. Now, that's just preaching, right? I'm just talking about preaching there. How about the Lord calling you? Look, I'm so thankful for the group that's coming up to soul win and to help in New York. Are you soul winning here? I alluded to it this morning in Sunday school. You'll never have to pray and ask God if it's His will for your life that you soul win. Yet I've heard with my own ears people declare that God has never told them to go out and witness. I don't know what Bible they were reading. My Bible absolutely says no less than 5 times that we're to go out and preach the gospel. We're to win and disciple and train. I want to look at Abram for just a few moments. Abram's detour. In verse 1, it says that the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. God has told Abram, get up, get out, go. I want you to go to Canaan. He says, I want you to leave what you know here behind, and I want you to go. I thought about this, a word that for whatever reason I had missed time and time again. It's this word. It's had. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram. This isn't the initial time that God's telling Abram to leave. Abraham's already been told to leave. Yet Abram was still where he was. Abraham was comfortable. Abraham liked his environment. And don't we get that way too? I'll tell you, one of the hardest decisions that we've ever had to make and to sacrifice ourselves and give ourselves to the Lord was when we said, we'll go. That was hard. We were comfortable. We owned our own home. I made, you know, $30-something an hour. We were happy. We thought we were set, man. We had exactly 3 kids. We had a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house on about 1.5 acres, and we were set. We left all that behind. How about all of our friends that we had to say, hey, we're leaving? How about our families? We had to say, hey, bye. We'll see you later. I think sometimes we allow these temporal things to affect us and our willingness to answer God's calls for our lives. Abram sure did that. I want to look at Acts chapter number 7. Look at Acts chapter number 7 with me quickly. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now then, said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before He dwelt in Charran. That Charran is Haran, and we see in the Old Testament. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Verse 4, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. God called Abram. God said, Abram, I want you to go. I want you to do something for me. And Abram, what he did was he halfway answered. He halfway said, okay. God says, I want you to leave your kindred. He said, I want you to leave all your comfortability. I want you to leave everything that you know behind, and I want you to be completely sold out to me. And Abram said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. All the while grabbing up and scooping up all the things that he held nearest and dearest to him and trying to take those with him. So he leaves Mesopotamia, and he goes to Haran, and he starts to dwell in Haran. He starts to live there. And he starts to set up a life there. Now, I'm trying to remember, did God call Abram to go to Haran? I don't think so. I think he told him to go to Canaan. I think he wanted him to go to Canaan. Yet he stops partway and settles in and tries to make a life there. I don't know exactly what the conversation between God and Abram looked and sounded like, because we're not really told. But I do know that according to Genesis 11 and verse 31, God told him to go. Genesis 11, 31, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there. They came partway, and they stopped. He left, but he left with comfort. He left with the security in his family's presence. He left with peace of knowing he had backup and he had help. And then he stopped short. Can I ask you this today? Has God called you to something? Maybe God has called you to preach. And maybe under your breath and in the back of your mind, you've answered that call. You've said, sure, Lord, but you've never really done anything with that. Maybe you're still hanging on to the fact that there's peace and comfort in the crowds. Like I said, I'd rather be sitting out there with you watching somebody up here. Amen. Hey, maybe God's called you to lead a Sunday school class or to teach. Maybe God's given you the spiritual talent of teaching. But you're saying, I'm not cut out for that. That's not me. And need I remind you of Moses' response to God when God said, go talk to Pharaoh? Go talk to Pharaoh. I've got a faltering tongue, Lord. You got the wrong guy. Isn't that how we are sometimes with God? We try and act like we know better than he does. Hey, maybe God's called you to serve in some capacity, and there's many capacities that we can serve him in, right? And we're just holding on to our comfortability, and we're just saying, no, I don't want to get involved. I want to stay back in the shadows. Do you understand that when God calls you, when God lays it on your heart to be involved in some manner, whatever manner that is, and we suppress that, and we don't act on that, and we don't obey God, we don't follow God, we are in disobedience with God. We are not right with God at that point. There is a divide between ourselves and God. Listen, I speak from experience. God called me to preach. And for a year, I looked a lot like Jonah. You got the wrong dude. I know me, right? I know there's no way I could stand up there and preach. There's no way. God, you got the wrong guy. But God, think about all I've done in my life. Think about all the experiences I've been through. God, God, I'm not perfect. What do you mean you want to use me? But he did. It took me a year before I fully submitted to God. Do you understand that surrender to God's call is nothing without submission to God's call? Surrender means nothing without submission. We can say all day long with our lips, yes, Lord. But until we say with our actions and our bodies, yes, Lord, we're in disobedience. Has God called you to be involved? Has God called you to do something? You guys have an amazing church here. The average church member, though, will have no idea what all it takes to have a service. I was amongst you. I remember one Wednesday evening. This is when I really, we were pretty early on at our sending church, and we were pulling up to the church one day. It was a Wednesday evening service, and as we pulled in, we have about a quarter of a mile driveway from the church to the end of the road there to Mount Carmel Road. And our pastor was walking with the trash bins behind him from the road down to the church. And as we pulled in, I looked at my wife and I said, honey, there's nobody else in the church that can get the trash bins? Why is our pastor doing that? A couple of weeks later, we were driving by in the middle of the afternoon. We have one of those marquee signs that has the plexiglass front that you have to prop up, and you get in there with the 8-inch thick letters and you start trying to change the, and it's like 95, 100 degrees in Georgia in the middle of the day, and he's standing under this plexiglass, you know, magnifying glass that's got to be burning him. And he's changing this sign out. And I'm thinking, there's nobody else? The call from God wasn't to change the sign. The call from God wasn't to take the trash bins. The call from God was to stand alongside the man of God and be there to hold up his arms, to offer help. Calls come in different forms and different shapes and different sizes. My question to you is, are you involved? I like the quote, preacher, I think it was Kennedy, right? That would say, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now just imagine for a moment if all the church members, if all of us in all of our churches would say, man, what can I do for my church rather than what can my church do for me? If that was our mindset when we came in, if we would start the morning with prayer, if we would seek God for help and for Him to do something miraculous. You guys have bus ministry here. Praise God, I'm a bus kid. I'm thankful that you have a bus ministry. Hey, by the way, that's an area you can always serve in. We could ask the bus captains, we need more bus workers. I haven't spoken to any of them, but I promise you, they need help. We need to be sold out to God. And one way we can be sold out to God is by serving Him in whatever capacity. Have you obeyed God fully? Has God called you to do something? Have you obeyed Him 100%? Not 50%, not 75%, not even 95%, but 100%. Abram went 50% of the way. He left, but he didn't leave the way God told him to. Have you gone halfway? We see Abram's delay. And God told Abram to go and that he would show him the land that was to be his. So we've already seen how Abram left on shaky ground from the word go because he didn't heed God's command of him getting away from his family, from his father's house, and going in full faith. By the way, I don't know if you caught that or not, but it literally took Abram's father dying to get Abram to go the rest of the way. You say, I don't know, there's this tragedy in my life, there's this situation unfolding in my life, there's this struggle, there's this issue that keeps popping its head up. I'm in this trial, I'm in this storm. Could it be that you're in the midst of the trouble that you're in because God has called you to do something and you're just not willing to surrender? That's where Abram was. It took his daddy being taken in order for him to go the full way. So they're traveling, they come to Haran. Haran was positioned about halfway between the valley of the Euphrates and the valley of the Jordan, valley of Jordan. And God called him to Canaan, but he only went halfway. We're not really sure. I've looked behind several commentators, and I've looked, and they're not really sure exactly how long he stayed there. But they do know it's greater than at least 5 years. Here's a hard question that I'm asking you to ask yourself. Again, the answer is between you and the Lord. God already knows the answer. Are you a Haran Christian today? Are you half in? Are you halfway sold out to God? Yeah, on the surface, you're His. At church on Sunday and Wednesday, you're certainly sold out. And as far as anybody else can tell, you're His. But what are we like the rest of the time? What are we like when no one else is looking? Are we sold out? Are we His? Or are we a halfway Christian? Has God called you somewhere to something and you're only giving in to part of God's will? Maybe you're here today and maybe God's called you to preach more on a consistent basis. Maybe, I don't know, preacher, I don't want any of your pastors to leave here by any stretch of the imagination, but man, there are churches without pastors everywhere. People need to answer the call of God. Do you understand? You can be doing right by God and doing what you think is right for God and not be in God's will. Abram thought he was doing right. He left. God said, get out and go, and he got up and he left. Now, he didn't leave the right way, but he did leave. He thought he was doing right by God, but he wasn't. He was still doing it in his own will and in his own way. The point of the message is this, to seek our hearts, to ask God and seek our hearts before God. Am I where you want me to be? Not am I where I want to be. If I was where I wanted to be today, then I would still be in McDonough, Georgia. I love my preacher. I love my pastor. I love my church. I love my church family. I miss them every day. If I was where I wanted to be, I would still be there. But I'm where God wants me to be, which, by the way, is a lot safer, a lot more secure in the will of God than it is in the will of Alan. God called him to Canaan, but he only went to Haran. You say, yeah, preacher, but at least he went, right? At least he did something, and sure, that's true. But God demands obedience and complete obedience. Come on, pastor, is that really true? God will let me do it my way? I remind you again of a big fish. I remind you of a man that decided he would do it his way. And God would send a great fish. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Verse 17, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, yeah, Abram didn't have to have any storms or big fish to deal with. Again, I'd say, didn't he? Again, how did he get him to leave? What was the storm that he faced? His father had to die. His dad had to go in order for Abram to be motivated to continue to do what God had told him to do. Can I ask you this? And I promise I'm trying to be sensitive. Again, just what the Lord's laid on my heart. Are you suffering afflictions today? And could it be because you're not obeying God? We know these things. We know already. The Lord's already smoting. The Lord's already speaking to our hearts that there are situations that are unfolding in our lives, and it's purely because we're not in obedience to God. Lord, to help us that we would be. Have you gone without God? Look at Abram's departure in verse 4. We see, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He's lost his father, and he's finally surrendered. He's finally submitted to God's call. Again, almost. Can I tell you that surrender means absolutely nothing without complete obedience, without complete submission? He still has the mindset of, I can do it my way. And he tries to take Lot with him. When God has begun the work of absolute surrender in you, this is a quote, and when God has accepted your surrender, then God himself holds bound to care for it and to keep it. What a promise. The belief that God can care for you and keep you is what enables you to not just surrender, but to submit yourself to God. I remember when God called me to be a missionary, and I surrendered that call. That was a hard decision. I'm a man, and I do know what that is. I also am a planner. I've been called to take care of my family, to provide for my family. I worked hard to provide for my family. And I literally said, yes, Lord, I'll quit my work. Yes, Lord, I'll quit my work and I'll just put my faith completely in you. That was a hard place to get. I remember my pastor came to me one day and he said this, and I'll never forget it, and it was such good advice. What wisdom from your pastor, by the way, amen. He said this, he said, whether your check is signed by your boss or whether your check is signed by a church, your check is from the Lord. Wow. For years, I thought I was working to earn my money, brother. I did. I thought it was me. I thought I was doing it, man. God was giving it. God was poured it out. God was providing. God was taken care of. And he still is today. It looks a little bit different. But praise God, by faith, God provides. Why do you say all this, preacher? Why are you telling us all this? Because somebody in here tonight is scared to surrender their life to God because they are uncertain about what will happen next. Because maybe you're like me and you're a planner and you don't want to take step one until you know step two, three, four, and five. Friends, God does not operate that way. God told Abram to go, and I'll show you where to go. He didn't say, Abram, here's a map. Here's GPS coordinates to where you're going to be. He said, you start walking, and I'll make sure you get there. I don't want to be too hard on him because he did leave. Again, albeit not the right way, but he left. I'm afraid too many of God's people aren't willing to leave. They're not willing to do what God's called them to do. I'm not talking about all of you. I hope you understand this, preacher. I hope everybody understands this. I'm not talking about y'all packing up, moving to New York or to Philippines or anywhere else. That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to move anywhere and still surrender to the call that God has on your life. God's not going to call you all to go. Hey, he's going to call some of you to stay. But maybe you're still not doing what God's called you to do where you're at. Are we surrendered completely to God? There's coming a day for all of us when we'll have to face the things that we bring along with us. Abram had to do so. He brought Lot with him. Again, you know the story. Lot and Abram part ways, and Abram gives Lot the choice of lands. In Genesis 13, verse 1, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abram said, you pick the land. You pick the side. I'm going to give you first choice. Can we stop for a second and acknowledge that there is no mention of an altar in Haran nor in Egypt? Now, we don't know everything because we're not told everything, but what we do know is this from Scripture. I do not see where Abram sought the Lord in this matter. I do not see where Abram went to God and said, God, I've messed up. I've brought baggage along with me. I've brought Lot and his family and all of his mess with me, and now we don't know what to do. The land won't bear us both, and our folks are fighting and there's strife, and God help me, what do I do? We don't see that. We just see Abram making a decision and saying, okay, here it is, Lot, you can have choice. Brother, to wit that we would go to God and pray and seek God's will and ask God to help us. That we would ask God to lead us, to lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him and allow Him to direct our paths. Folks, it is of utmost importance that we seek the Lord, that we seek His will for our lives, that we seek His direction. The first mention of an altar is here at Bethel. He consults with the Lord. He asks Lot to separate from him. Even here it seems that he gives Lot the right to pick what he wanted rather than giving him what the Lord had instructed. Again, making an application here between Lot and sin. I thought about this with the whole idea of sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. We have to be careful to keep the sin out of our lives. We have to be careful to not let it in. When God has called us to do something, perhaps It's that we won't surrender ourselves to God and what He has called us to do because there is some sin in our life that we're holding on to and that we're traveling along with and we're bringing along with us. We've got to get rid of the sin. Sin is still a problem in 2025. I know we don't like to talk about it and we like to act like we're just all perfect. Amen. I stand before you not a super saint. I don't wear a cape. This is a coat. Amen. We've got to get rid of the sin. We've got to stand against sin again. We've got to acknowledge what sin is and get it out of our lives and stop allowing it in the first place. Stop partaking in the sin. Imagine if we just consulted God first. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways, I ask you a question. How many of you seek the Lord's direction for your day? Don't answer out loud, but think about that. How many of us wake up in the morning and the first thing is, God, what would you have me to do today? I believe if we're really honest with ourselves, what we do a lot of times is we wake in the morning and we say, God, here is what I have to do today. Would you go with me? Lord, would you help me in what I have to do today? Rather than saying, God, what is it that you would have me to do today? We're good at seeking the Lord's direction when it comes to things in the church and at church. Again, I think it's part of that super saint Christian mentality that we have on Sundays and on Wednesdays, where we like to act like we've got it all together and we're perfect, right? We come into church on Sunday and it's like, oh yeah, I've consulted God about what to do today. It's going to be good. But we won't do that on Tuesday. And we won't do it on Wednesday. Lord, help us that we would seek you first and your will for our lives and what we should do. Maybe you're here today and you're trusting more in yourself than the Lord. Can I encourage you to finally turn your life over to God? Maybe you're here and you never put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saying, I believe I can be good enough to get to heaven. I promise you, friend, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. Jesus would tell us in John 14:6, he'd say, I am the way, the truth, the life. And he would say this, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. By the way, that means not by yourself either. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. The only way to get to God is not through a tower, it is through Jesus. Our works will never get us there. We don't surrender, we don't work for God, we don't serve for God to be saved. But because I am saved, I serve the Lord. Because I am saved, because I am bought with a price, because I am not my own, I serve the Lord. I pray you do too. I pray you do too. If you don't know the Lord tonight, I pray you'd put your faith and your trust in the finished work. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Not one thing that has to be added. All the religions of the world are works-based outside of Christianity. Every single one of them is trying to earn favor from God through their actions and their obedience. Friends, I stand before you saved on my way to heaven, not because of my obedience, but because of the obedience of the cross. Because Jesus would allow himself, he would lay down his life. He would be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world was laid. Can I encourage you to finally turn your life over to God? If you've never put your trust in him, would you do that tonight? Take a step of faith. Follow God. Hey, get out of Haran if you've been called and stepped out. Stop sojourning where you're not supposed to be. Stop sojourning in the wrong ministry. Listen, If God's called you to do something, surrender and do what God wants you to do. You know what it is that God's called you to do. I encourage you. Genesis 12 and verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Elimelech took his family to Moab because of a famine. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The remnant of Judah went to Egypt in a famine. There's something about a famine, man. People start running the wrong direction. Maybe you're in a famine tonight. Maybe you're going through a time of trouble or shortage. And maybe you're running and seeking in all the wrong places. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. And he and only he can help you. Egypt and Moab, both a picture of sin here. Pictures of the world. You go out into the world and you start down the trail of sin. And I promise you, according to the word of God, it will end in famine. If God has called you, he will sustain you. Preacher, we're finished. I just want to encourage you. I don't know why this message is what God gave me for tonight. I don't know why. I just trust the Lord. If there's somebody here and God has called you to do something and you're holding back and you're saying, but, would you give yourself to God tonight and stop saying but and say, yes, Lord? Would you say, yes, Lord, preacher, I'm done. Would you say, yes, Lord? Would you say, I'm yours? Would you say, I'm fully yours? No more stipulations, God. I'll do what you want me to do, whatever it is.
Thank you, Brother Bradley. Let's all stand. We'd ask our pianist to come. I want you to bow your head with me. Thank you again, Brother Bradley, for a good Bible message.